Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramarte Fio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Raymond Blaine on Palestine. Tonight, we're going to talk about U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry's meetings with the Arab League in Jordan, discussing what they're trying to do with the peace process. I'm also going to talk about some different things that Palestinians are doing in the different cities. I'm also going to talk about the earth-shattering European Union decisions that are going to affect Israel quite good. So I'm going to start off here with this first story. This is from the Palestinian News Network. A number of Palestinian activists put banners and signs on the main entrance of several Palestinian cities, calling for peace with the Israeli citizens. The banners also included a message to the Israeli occupation army not to enter Palestinian civil areas due to its aggression and violations against the Palestinian people, as the Israeli occupation army invades Palestinian cities and villages and arrests the residents. The big banners were placed on cement stones belonging to the Israeli army on the main entrance of the Palestinian cities, included an invitation to the Israeli citizens to enter the Palestinian territories as guests without fear or hesitation and to refuse to be an enemy. Those banners came in response to the warning letters placed by the Israeli army on the entrance to the Palestinian cities. The army placed red color banners that warn that Israeli citizens, if they enter these Palestinian territories, could be harmed, and they're not allowed to go there. Whereas the Palestinian banners urge the Israelis to enter as guests into the Palestinian territories without any fear or worry. According to the Israeli banners, the Israeli citizens are warned that entering into a Palestinian area exposes them to harm. Criminal offenses will be imposed on violators. So they put the signs up to warn them not to go there, and then they tell them if you do go there, you'll be punished. So to counter that, these Palestinians put up signs welcoming everybody. So I thought that was really cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah, they're right next to each other too. They basically plastered them right next to the other sign. So I thought that was a really kind of creative idea, and what have you. So
shows you who has
all
something.
Right.
Yeah,
it's funny. Okay, so the European Union, this is dated July 16th, and this is from the IMEMC agency report. The European Union issued a directive forbidding its 28 member countries from funding or participating in projects that are located within illegal Israeli settlements. The new directive, however, does not apply to trade between the EU and Israel, so business operating in the illegal settlements won't be affected. The EU recognizes that Israeli settlements in East Jerusalem and West Bank are illegal. The EU recognizes that Israeli settlements in East Jerusalem and West Bank are illegal. The legal binding directive will come into effect in 2014, and it forbids EU member states from issuing grants, scholarships, funding, and prizes to Israeli non-governmental and governmental organizations operating in settlements built illegally by Israel in East Jerusalem, the West Bank, Gaza, and the Golan. The directive requires that any agreements or contracts between an EU country and an Israeli organization includes a clause stating that the project or institution receiving funding or assistance is not located in an illegal settlement. The European recognizes that illegal settlements on occupied land are illegal under international law. So basically what that's saying is that every new contract starting in 2014 cannot benefit the settlements, and if it does, then they won't sign contracts to that effect. So that's pretty good. And you know it's good when they start talking about earthquakes in Israel and all kinds of fun stuff like that. It was an earthquake of a decision by the EU to make that happen. So now it's just a push to make them actually do it and abide by the by that. Okay, so John Kerry, he's in the Middle East. He's in Jordan. He's trying to get this Middle East push going. Anybody that'll try to help, hey, I'm all for it, whether it's the United States or anybody else in the Arab League and such. So U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said Wednesday that six visits in as many months were bearing fruit in narrowing gaps between Israel and the PLO in resuming peace talks. Kerry met in neighboring Jordan with President Mahmoud Abbas in the early hours before fresh talks on Wednesday that were joined by other Arab delegates. U.S. envoy, who has made the resumption of Middle East peace talks after a three-year break a priority, even at the expense of raising eyebrows among U.S. Asian allies, said the goal was getting nearer. Through hard and deliberate work, we have been able to narrow those gaps very significantly, Kerry told a press conference. We continue to get closer, and I continue to be hopeful that the two sides will come to sit at the same table. I don't know. We'll see. Kerry acknowledged that the difference remained between the two sides to fight his Dodge shuttle diplomacy, which saw him hold hours of talks with both Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in his last visit last month. There's still some language that needs to be worked out, he said, I bet.
Yeah.
I would caution everybody to resist the temptation to speculate. The easiest bet has always been on predicting impasse. The PLO insists it will not return to the negotiating table until Israel agrees to accept as a baseline the lines that existed before the 1967 Middle East War when it occupied the Gaza Strip and West Bank. And so that EU decision really does put a nice big push on those 1967 lines for this particular peace process. So I'm real happy to see that Europe, you know, had the guts to jump up and do this at this particular time. It was really nice how the timing worked out. Okay, so it says that Israel needs to freeze all settlement construction in the occupied lands, including East Jerusalem, which it annexed in a move never recognized by the international community. And then, of course, Israel says such calls are preconditions that they will not accept, although they flow from international law and prior peace talks. Okay, so Arab League Chief Nabil Arabi and Gulf Arab envoys who are also in the Jordanian capital gave strong backing to Kerry's peace push. That's also important too. You know, we got to get some more of these Arab governments behind some of this stuff because we need their help in this situation as well. Even though they've really turned their backs on the Palestinians for centuries, for that matter. Okay, so the Arab delegates believe Kerry's idea constitute a good ground and suitable environment for restarting the negotiations. The delegates insisted that any future deal must be based on a two-state solution and through establishing an independent Palestinian state on the June 4th, 1967 borders with a limited exchange of lands in the same value and size. The new, more right-leaning ruling coalition by the Israeli premier earlier this year has refused any return to the 1967 lines. Kerry and Abbas met in the early hours Wednesday, huddling for some 5 hours after the iftar feast that marks the end of the daytime fast, observed by Muslims during the holy month of Ramadan. Direct peace talks between Israel and the PLO have been broken out for 3 years over persistent Jewish settlement expansion on occupied Palestinian land, despite mounting international reaction, particularly from the European Union. A Palestinian official who asked to remain anonymous told AFP things were moving and Kerry was determined to announce a resumption of talks before he leaves the region at the end of the week. So he thinks he can get these guys together at the table before he leaves the end of the week. I will really be surprised if that happens. Yeah. I did, however, hear, though, that there was a leak that the Israelis were going to agree to a small airport being built for the Palestinians in Ramallah. But I don't think that's going to happen either, and who knows how that would work out. They'll probably just let them build it and then just bomb it again.
So, yeah, exactly. Anyway. That's what they do. Yeah.
But, you know, but whatever. But I just heard that, and I think it's just a lie to try to get them back to the table, and then they won't ever do it. You know, just like they did with the last stuff. You know, oh, don't go to the UN, and then we'll, you know, go to the table, and then as soon as they didn't go, as soon as the time passed, oh, we've had second thoughts about this. So that's the way that's been working out. Okay, so, but the State Department officials have remained tight-lipped on the substance of the talks in line with what Kerry has dubbed a quiet strategy. Quiet strategy, because these guys aren't quiet.
Yes, quiet strategy.
Okay, and then I love this. Kerry's visit comes amid Palestinian satisfaction, but Israeli anger over new European Union guidelines barring the 28-member bloc from funding projects in Jewish settlements in Palestine. And then Israel says, of course, that EU move could prove a stumbling block to Kerry's efforts, charging that it would encourage Palestinians to insist that there could be no return to talks about Israeli agreements to the 1967 lines as their basis. And indeed, there are no immediate plans for Israel or for Kerry to visit Israel and meet Netanyahu, unlike previous trips when he shuttled back and forth between Amman and Jerusalem, because they're pissed right now. They're really angry. So
yeah.
He's not going to go there right now. He's going to be like, yeah, you guys cool off for a bit.
Yeah. Well, they're not interested in peace, or they would stop settlement building long enough to talk.
Well, where they're at is occupied land, so this is what's great. In the comments, this is like a little kid stomping his feet and throwing a tenter tantrum. This is what this reminds me of, and I can see Netanyahu doing this, so everybody needs to, like, put that visual in your head, Netanyahu pouting or laying on the floor, stomping his feet like a three-year-old, okay? In the comments in the German newspaper Welt am Sonntag, released on Wednesday, Netanyahu said the EU policy marked an attempt to forcibly determine Israel's borders through economic pressure instead of through negotiations. Too damn bad. You don't negotiate, so we're going to do other things. Yeah. And I stick my tongue out at him. So anyway, I can just see him just crying a river right now. He said such a move is wrong, adding that it hardens the Palestinians' position and leads Israel to lose faith in Europe's neutrality. There's no need for neutrality. There's an oppressed and an oppressor here. So we need to get the oppressor to stop oppressing. And if this is going to work, that's one of the most concrete things I've seen in probably 20 years of my activism. Now it's up to us to make sure it's freaking put together and made sure that it's implemented. And that they can't weasel out of it, because they're good at weaseling out of stuff. We don't like weaselly things they do.
Exactly.
Okay. So then here's another story from Britain. These guys are starting to maybe elect MPs and politicians that are a little bit smarter and maybe a little less afraid of Israel. I don't know. This was in London. Richard Burden, MP, chair of the Britain-Palestinian All-Party Parliamentary Group, that's a long word, Wednesday expressed concern about the scale of arms and military equipment which the UK government is approving for exports to country with very questionable human rights records, and highlighted that the situation in Israel is of severe concern. A press release published commenting on the report published by the Committee of Arms Export Control said, according to the government's own figures, there are over 3,000 approved export contracts. That's worth more than 12 billion euros, or 12 billion francs, for strategic control goods, going to 27 countries listed as of human rights concern by the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. Burden said, many of the countries on the list are in the Middle East and North Africa, but what is most striking that over half of the total 7,878,776,714 is going to Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories. That's out of the 7.8 worth of billion worth of equipment exported to Israel is covered by just one license approval for equipment employing cryptography and software equipment.
Yeah.
So this is bizarre, particularly because there are scores of other licenses granted for export of cryptography equipment and software, which have a substantial value, but still only add up to a tiny fraction of this amount. So there's all this stuff's being hidden. But $7.8 billion worth of hidden. Yikes.
That's hiding. That's a good job. Yeah.
He said, I'm tabling questions to ministers today to find out just what this license was all about. Is it just one company involved? Why did the scale of this license dwarf all others with the similar titles? What does this contract actually involve? Quite apart from all the questions that this particular license approval raises, there has to be real concern that the arms trade with Israel dominates the list produced by UK governments to their extent. Britain has a long-standing rule that arms and military equipment should not be exported to countries where they are likely to be used for either internal repression or external aggression, a principle that the Foreign Secretary affirmed to the committee, said the release. This is awesome. That being the case, you cannot ignore that the West Bank remains illegally occupied by Israel, and there is a growing international concern about Israel's treatment of Palestinian child prisoners. You cannot ignore that Israel's military blockade of Gaza or the regular shootings of Palestinian civilians by Israeli forces, which have been systematically documented by the United Nations. Against a background of international concern about Israel, we need to know why inventory of equipment the UK is supplying ranges from components for assault rifles and arms to military communication equipment and intelligence software. The UK government regularly expresses concern about Israel's breaches of international law and human rights abuses. So just what are we doing supplying Israel with the military equipment that helps it carry on such violations? The UK government has some serious questions to answer here. It's on its arms export to Israel and to other countries of concern, says Burden. Okay, so these people are starting to question and starting to, like, dig stuff up, and hopefully that's going to mean start turning off some spigots of some funding. $7.8 billion is a lot of freaking, that's a lot of cheddar, that's a lot of cheese to just say no. You know, it's sickening to me that they get $30.4 billion from us and $7.8 billion from them, but that they hid what, ridiculous amount of money, and they hid it in one little contract. So,
yeah, just one. So, can you imagine?
That's so strange. It's so interesting, but it's so cool that he popped that off and he got that going on. So, I'm really happy about that. Okay, I got another one here that's really funny that you guys will enjoy. It's about an independent film out of Palestine. And if I can find it, I'll read it. okay, so I want to also mention that it's Ramadan, and, you know, Ramadan Kareem, Mubarak, what have you, to everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it too, and that's why I'm having a hard time tonight, because I'm fasting and I'm coming up on 15 hours without eating. So bear with me here for just a second. Let me try to find this one last page. Anyway, this is about a movie, and it's a spoof on is this it? That's not it. Oh gosh darn it. Okay, it's called Condom Lead, and it's anywhere there's ever been a conflict or anywhere in the world, there's been a man and a woman in a room. In Gaza, just like any other place under siege, lovemaking, perhaps the most essential mode of human connection, has to be jettisoned for more pressing concern, said the twins. That's the two guys that wrote it. The film's tagline is, dream of the hope for intimacy and love in a brutal, divisive world. Condom-led producer and actor Rashid Abdulhamid said that the main purpose behind the film is to change the perception of Palestine and Gaza in particular, by countering the dehumanizing image that results from its constant betrayal through the eyes of crossfire and death. Made in Palestine Project as an independent production company founded by Abelbed to create and promote arts from Palestine. And it competed in the Cannes Film Festival in, I think it was 2012. But anyway, it's a film that people want to look up. It's about 15 minutes long, I guess. And it has no dialogue and no music. They do everything but just body language. So it's probably really cool and really interesting.
Condom Led.
Condom Led. And I busted through all my stuff, and I got nothing more for you. So what do we want to talk about?
Well, I'm interested that you're observing Ramadan this year. So
yeah, I decided to do it out of in solidarity for my very good Muslim friends and all over the world, not just in Palestine. And
right.
Today's day 11, and the first 3 days were real difficult, and then as each day's gone by, it's got a little bit easier. I've only had to break fast once, and that was yesterday, and I got dehydrated, and I had to drink water. I got starting to cramp up a little bit because I hadn't drank enough water in 4 or 5 days prior, I think.
Nice.
But other than that, I pretty much stuck to it. 18 and a half hours is a long time without eating and drinking water.
That's a long time.
I also worked with water.
But the water got me. I just need water. I know we've had dreadful, dreadful high humidity and high temperatures here around 100. And, yeah, that's...
Well, the good Lord's looking down on me because we haven't had the dreadful hot temperatures or anything like that. It's actually been okay. But water never tastes so good.
I bet. Well, it gives you a real appreciation.
It does, and you know, I've read some things, and there were some Quran verses about how it kind of it flips you from it from all the things your body wants, needs, craves, and gives you the control to shut that down, and gives you the control because we go through life, running through life, and just impulsively doing things, eating, drinking, and not really paying attention. And when you do this, the body craves things, the body wants things, but you take the control and you say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm the boss. The body's not the boss. The brain's the boss. And it was kind of a strange little story that I read, and I thought it was pretty neat. And it kind of made sense to me, and it also made me more, it strengthened me more to go through with my fasting and go through with Ramadan and such. So,
I think that's wonderful. You're right, because it teaches you to be discerning and in charge of your own self. So,
right. And then on the other hand, too, the praying part of it, what I've done is I picked a theme each day, and then I've gone and done something involved with that theme, like prayed for the people living in polluted areas that don't have any choice, and then went out and picked up trash in the neighborhood, you know, or... You know, prayed for the children that are not eating, and you know they don't have a choice to end their fast. They're just getting,
right.
They're just starving.
They're just not eating.
And went out and, went downtown and found a couple of teenage homeless kids and threw them a couple burgers. They were super happy. They thought it was the greatest thing ever. You know, it cost me $10, but it was good for the soul. It made me feel good. It made me smile. I was cracking up. We were all laughing, and it was over four cheeseburgers. It wasn't even a huge deal. So everybody, I'm just kind of getting that, you know, everybody can do these kinds of things on a regular basis. It doesn't take a religious holiday to do this. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to have a reason to do it other than to just do it and just to kind of help humanity. And that's kind of what this is all about, and also kind of what I'm getting from it.
You know, that sounds wonderful.
I'm checking myself. You know, your patience is much shorter when you're not eating and not drinking, and you have to really... check yourself when you get aggravated with someone, because you have to realize, look, they're not the ones fasting. you are. So, you know, and so it's also caused me to step back a step a couple of times and say, wait a second, why are you angry? What is wrong? Is it really that important? Instead of just flying off the handle. So It's been a really, it's something I'd suggest if nobody's ever tried it to next year, maybe give it a shot and try it. Because I never expected the things to come out of it that have come out of it when I started it. It was kind of on a whim, and now it's really something that's becoming a passion. I'm having friends that are very supportive of it. And, you know, they, hey, what time can you eat tonight? You know, and laughing about it and then having people over to eat. They're, none of them are fasting, but they all come over and eat with me. So I'm able to cook large dinners and things like that, and that's been in the spirit of that as well. So thank all those people.
That's
pretty cool. Yeah, pretty neat stuff. The other thing I wanted to add is Ishraq Ayub, a very, very, very good friend of mine that lives in Gaza. Her mom had another baby. That's sister number 9.
Cool.
There's 10 girls and 1 boy.
Oh, boy.
And she is healthy and happy, and another Palestinian, and yay on that. They're not going away. They just keep coming. So right on that. So that's pretty cool. That's something I thought that needed to be addressed and let everybody know about. So I'm really happy about that. And
that one boy.
What else?
Man, I bet he's got the life. One boy.
Oh, yeah, and I don't even know where he sits in that lineup either.
Wow.
9 girls. Wow. 10 girls.
Yeah.
And Ishraq is wonderful, and you give her a lot of, also give her a little shake. She just graduated from her bachelor's program, top of her English program, and is going to be teaching at the Gaza University for a year, and is also doing interpreting for I believe, a UN agency. Because of it. So right on, Ishraq. She really rocked it in a lot of hard times. I don't know how they do it.
I don't know how they graduate from college with such
wonderful
grades under the conditions they're living. I am just continually.
Yeah. And not only that, but number one. I mean, number one out of a lot of students, because those colleges are full.
Yeah.
And I'm just so, so impressed and honored to get to know her and know so many smart Palestinians. They never cease to amaze me. I mean, their academics are just incredible. Incredible. And so hopefully she'll be able to save the money and get scholarships also and possibly come to the United States and finish her studies just like Hakeem did. So, inshallah on that, we'll just keep our fingers crossed. She's got a lot of work to do still, obviously, to make that happen, but that's the direction she's going, so that's pretty cool. And another activist to come in and let everybody know what's going on out there, you know.
Yeah.
So
but you had lots
really
of to tonight.
So, yeah, I've got a lot of energy tonight. I'm surprised. I was really excited to come on. I missed last week. And the week before that, we had a really horrible show, and I was just really ready to come in and, you know, kill it tonight, you know, get after it, you know. And that kind of thing. So,
well, then you'll be back next week, next Wednesday.
I will be back next week, and I'm going to try to dig up some more funny and some more positive Palestinian stories for the whole month of Ramadan. I'm trying to stay away from all the bad and the ugly. We're going to just try to keep it all good and positive, because these people are people, too, and they aren't always – they're not sad people. Have a wonderful afternoon, everybody. Okay, and this is Raymond Blaine on Palestine. Have a good night.
Thank you.